and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of educational talks with Rav Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk about the place where our children spend most of their time, school. School is a kind of a hostel that we put them into when they're little. We take them out when they're adults, and it has a central role in shaping them. Who will they be? And today we'd like to look at it from a new perspective. Okay, so really for 12 years, we're in school for 12 years. We come at the age of 6, come out at the age of 18, adults. And it's a very critical time in a person's development. And today there's a complaint from many, many, both parents, also educators, and certainly from the children, that school is irrelevant, that school is boring, that school doesn't actually give an answer to success in life. If I was a good student at school, it means nothing with respect to how I'll function in the future, what awaits me in the future. We also see opposite cases of people that dropped out of school and became a big success. And really, this framework today is less relevant or completely irrelevant for a child that goes in at the age of 6 and comes out at the age of 18. And on this show, we'd like to better understand what is a relevant school, what kind of a framework, what kind of a framework can we send our child to that we invest so much energy and money into it, and it's maybe the most important thing for us in life. We do everything that we can in order for our child to succeed. So what kind of framework can we send them to that will make sure that our child will succeed eventually? Look, in our life, the mechanism which we built, the pedagogical, educational mechanism, military mechanism, and there are others, even medicine to a certain extent. These are very non-progressive organizations or mechanisms or systems. They're very... they like conservatism, especially the military people, also many doctors, and I say that the most conservatives are the teachers and the educational system. There, it's extremely conservative. They don't like changing anything, because this way they're covered. If they make mistakes, if it's not mistakes, this is how it was, this is the custom, this is the law, go talk to the Ministry of Education or whatever, but we are working according to our orders. This is how these mechanisms work, and also others, but in these mechanisms, it's very conspicuous. School was established about 150 years ago, when industry started, when there was need for workers, and people didn't really know how to read and write or calculate things or exactly how to measure things or carry out precise actions or even dig a hole or doing something according to a sketch or whatever. They were taken from the villages, and they were brought to the city, and they started teaching them to some extent. At first, they were taught at the working places. They saw strong and more or less not crazy guys, so he was taught at that place. Afterwards, they saw that it's not enough. We need more than that. And in the different working places, they started 1 or 2 hours during the day on account of at the expense of their boss. They were taught, like in school, they were taught things related to their profession, how to work with metal, how to work with wood, how to work with leather, and so on. And accordingly, they got a kind of a preparation afterwards, and they were taught really very simple things, and actually things that were only related to the profession. Afterwards, they saw, no, we have to make them a bit more developed, because in order to grasp things, they have to understand a bit more and to arrange these things. They have to be a bit more open to go into trade, industry, more complex industry. This is especially when we started approaching the 20th century. And we're talking about Europe, we're talking about also Eastern Europe started a bit later. We're talking especially about Germany, that's where it started. Germany, Austria, the Habsburg Empire. But we have to understand that all of these things, they started with the simple things because there was no choice, because the tycoons back then, they wanted to have good, nice workers that won't break things, that will do things, that will make the product in the best possible way. And this is how it was. Afterwards, they started preparing their workers, their employees in advance, meaning they didn't take workers at the age of 15, 18, or 20 that they were taking as workers, but they started opening such schools and establishments in advance and teach general things, reading, writing, math, how to measure things, some physics, geometry, what you basically need in practical life, some chemistry if it's medicine, or working in a pharmacy, preparing pharmaceutics. And this is how it developed. But it's the same style. There's a teacher, or throughout time, it's a few teachers, each one according to his profession, and the students sit and listen to what he says, and they answer, and they have to do homework at home, and so on and so forth, meaning everything we see to this day, the way I studied 60 years ago, it was really the same as my grandchild is studying today. And he's still in the second grade, my smaller grandchild. So somehow it's interesting for him. But I know that in a year or two, he won't want to go to school, he'll curse them, and they won't want him, and he won't want them. And he'll have to move from school to school, and he won't find a place anywhere. And this is how it is. Kids don't want to study this way. It's boring. It's pressuring. It coerces them. The parents can't do anything because we built our life so that both parents have to work. We have to throw the kids someplace. And in short, it's very aggravating and tons of money. And as always, different people who have interests turned it into a whole industry, and the poor parents are running around in order to give their children everything they can, and eventually the benefit from it, the gain, is very small, like on the clip you showed me before the show, that many of the successful people and managers of big companies, they failed the exams. What grade was it? There was a simulation of the finals exam. I'd probably fail as well. I know about myself. And there they talked about some professor. I know about myself that I left school. I couldn't keep studying, really. And in the last few grades, I finished the last few grades in evening school, and in the morning I went to work. I couldn't stand sitting in a classroom. It was that boring. And I worked in electricity, in armature winding, very simple professions, but it gave me access to electricity, to engines, to all the equipment back then. Especially I worked with electricity. And that was a good starting point in life. Afterwards, I went to the university. In the university, I studied for the first 3 years. And then I left. I couldn't continue studying this way. And I went to an evening university, the exact same style. And I went to work in the medical academy. And I turned my profession into biocybernetics, the human body systems. And I finished with honors in a good, in a nice way, because I liked it and I liked the style of learning. It was very suited to a person. You were treated as a grown-up, as an adult, and so on. Afterwards, later on, I finished my doctorate in philosophy, and I wrote books, and for the last 40 years, I'm engaged in this special teaching, special research of the wisdom of Kabbalah and anthology, information science. And first of all, it's interesting. It's my life. I like it. I'm dedicated, devoted to it. I don't need anyone to pressure me. I'm not waiting for someone to pay me for it. This is what we have to do. A person today, he is incapable of doing something under pressure, where he is forced. It's not the primitive kind of kids that lived 200 or 300 years ago or 2,000 years ago that he was told, you sit, you hear, and you learn. Then the ego wasn't that big. We're now in an era where our egoistic desire is really burning at us. We're incapable of sitting and studying and listening to different things that don't interest me. It looks like rubbish to me, because rubbish is something that I don't want to listen to. And this is how I see it, and that's how everyone is. And kids that have to listen to all the things that they're told in school, according to what some, I don't know, professor in the Ministry of Education feels like, I don't know, poor kids. And the thing is that we're forcing everyone to do the same, and it's a good thing that after school that you can forget it all, even though it costs us a lot of money, a lot of hours of suffering, both for us and for the parents, but we forget, and we go, and we get the profession that we want, and may that school burn. And this is how most of the seniors, or how many people you have that finish school, but kids that went to school, this is what they think about it, and it's a shame that we treat our sweet children that way, and we have to make something different for them. This is what I think. How is it possible to teach in an interesting way? How can you approach a child and use these hours, that it's a lot of hours? I liked studying the things that I worked in, because I knew that this is exactly what's happening with me at my working place. We have to take kids every day to different places, not only to the museums, where there everything's really dry and stinky and remote, but to each and every working place, so that they will get an explanation. Places where you make food, and villages, and greenhouses, and garages, and airports, and banks, and hospitals, each and everything. Really give them the university of life. And afterwards, they have to give us an update. They have to write. So we teach them how to write about what I saw. What do I have to ask? And how should I give account about it? And then they grasp life. And along with it, we explain to them things that are relevant to those working places. What are they doing? Why are they doing it? So they'll study some botany and geography and about finance and electricity and physics and dynamics. And we have to introduce them into life. Otherwise, when we give them a book, and something on the blackboard, even if it's a computer screen, then it's something that really dries them out. Should there be a unanimous program for everyone? No, not at all. Not a unanimous program. And a person can move from school to school, and every school should have a different tendency. And if I want to learn in a special faculty that exists in another place, then I have to have a ride there, but I have to be interested in it. It's from a certain age. From what age, more or less? I think that at least from the age of 13 and on, you can already see, maybe even before, what is that child inclined to. And I'm also against mixing boys and girls together in one classroom. It really disturbs them, and it creates a lot of pressure in the classroom. And we know that. And just because they're as if progressive people, as if democratic, and as if, then we really put our kids under this pressure, under the pressure of all these relationships. That's only during adulthood, or I even think from the age of 10, they already start discerning. Before that, they have no interest, and they scorn each other, and afterwards they have the opposite kind of disrespect, a sexual interest. Yeah, and today it's very early. There came out a survey where the parents were asked, what in your opinion is important in school? And I think the results are amazing. 36%, more than a third of parents, say that they'd like the school to give their child values. This is something that doesn't exist at all. A school is not a place for education. It's a place for acquiring knowledge, which they forget afterwards. School doesn't educate. It doesn't turn the child into a human being. It doesn't develop him in a way that it builds a human being out of him. Not at all. So we'll talk about it in a second. And another 30% say that they want him to realize his personal potential. And the rest talked about the classical things like the acquisition of knowledge, preparation for university, and the intellectual thing, so to speak. And the question is, are the parents right? Because there's a big difference between what exists and what the parents want to get. I think that the Ministry of Education have no idea of what they're doing. According to the results that we get from everything that they're preparing and the criticism, the way we criticize school, and they don't hear a word, and that parents open schools, open private schools, and teach children at home. Look what happened to the educational system, the system which prepares the next generation. The whole country scorns what the educational system prepared for us. and what it does. We don't want it. We hate it. We suffer as a result. And they are really deaf to all of our cries. So there is no more conservative mechanism, more stubborn, that doesn't want to change itself than any other mechanism. And the teachers suffer, and everyone suffers. But that's how it is. They don't want to change anything. I do want to get back to the survey. The acquisition of values and the realization of personal potential, are these the most important things? It's essential, but we don't have the teachers for it. We don't. It's our organization or a few more organizations, which I know are trying to somehow add something to our kids, but the truth is that there are no teachers for it. We don't have people who know how to introduce the right values, human values, values about life, about relations between people to kids. There are no educators for it, real educators. Instead, you have people that have knowledge. It's just called an educational system, but it doesn't really educate. It doesn't build a human being. So you're saying that everything depends on the training of the teachers, which is really lacking because actually is taught to teach knowledge. The teachers for biology, zoology, physics, and so on. We don't have a teacher for the building of a human being. What does that mean? Building a human being, shaping a human being, it means to teach him relations between people, ethics, philosophy of the relations between people, physiology, psychology, anatomy, but everything related to the person. Who is a person? Who is a human being? What is a human being? And how do they relate between them? And not immediately shift it to sex and all the things they're taught, but to teach a child how to create the right relationships between people. Who is the human being? Why is he higher than an animal? What makes him a human being? How can he connect with other people? Not only sexually, but people between us, men, women, all of us together, taking care of children, meaning how to communicate with each other. Yeah, how to understand the other. How to make so that the boys will understand the girls and the girls will understand the boys, and to sit them together for them to talk to each other, to understand, for them to understand how to talk to each other. And to open them up so it won't get some distorted forms. And plenty of things. It's our entire life. Besides the working place, which is something really marginal. So I don't really care who will I be and what money do I make. But today you ask a person, who are you? I'm a mathematician. I'm an electrician. I work in a bank. Who are you, meaning as a human being? What interests you? What is your life? That's the working place. So what? We as if have exchanged life for the working place. This is life. That a person lives in order to go to work, come back, sit in front of the TV, watching soccer, and again until he dies. So what kind of a life does school have to prepare a child for? We were also very stigmatic. We're not even aware of the kind of life that we can prepare them to. Meaning, first of all, let's build our life. Let's fantasize about it. Let's plan our good life, the life that we'd like our children to have. And accordingly, let's start building a school with teachers accordingly, with teachers that are ready for it, so that our kids will have a new life, a completely different framework. New way of thinking, direction of thinking, mutual consideration in life. So they'll have everything. This is what we need. Can you elaborate a bit? Because I feel we're on a conveyor that is educating us from a small age, and as you said, to prepare us for the university, get a profession. In my school, there were two teachers that I really remember them. One of them was Bohm, was his family name. He was Jewish, very fat, really round, like a, he looked like a globe, and really, he was the geography teacher. He used to tell us, this was in the 50s, he used to tell us as if we were all the time traveling with him around the world. He was like this, like he was overweight and his, it was hard for him, but the way he did it, he gave us a feeling that we're living in the big round world. And it was, his lessons were a surprise, really, an adventure. And the other one was the history teacher. He was more closed. But he told us about life. He used to say, our life consists of a movie, a few minutes that we sit at home and talk to our family, that we go out and suppose take a walk on a weekend and so on, and looking at life one way or another, even though he was a historian, but he also told us about history this way. I came out of both of them, only these two, and I'm not a historian or a geography teacher. But with a real attitude towards life, that it's something big, broad, with this panoramic kind of view. And it all depends on your teachers. Our time's unfortunately up. What is the main insight we should take from what we talked about? We should make the most important profession at school the profession of how to make a human, how to build a human being. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.